So last week we heard about how Moses disobeyed the Lord and he was removed, at least he was going to be removed as the leader before they would go into the promised land. He was not going to be the man that led Israel into the promised land. And to us, we look at it, we're like, wow, that seemed like a little bit of a minor thing that he did. But to the Lord, it was a really big deal and he really dishonored God with how he did that. And so that was probably one of the couple low points in Moses' life when he did that. And he's coming towards the end of his life. This is really right towards the end of his life. And so I think Moses has a little bit of an opportunity set before him or a choice set before him. He could kind of feel sorry for himself and he could finish in a bad way or he could finish strong. And I want to share with you why I think that Moses finished strong as you look at this and as we read the scripture today, that Moses finished strong. And I think it's an example for any of us that if we fall down and we stumble and we sin and we all do, that we got to get back up and we got to keep moving. Even if there are consequences for our sins, like there were big consequences for Moses' sins, he had to live in those consequences, but he had to keep moving forward. And he did that. Let's pray before we go in and we start looking at the scriptures. Pray once more. Heavenly Father, thank you for being with us today as we open up your word. I pray that through your Holy Spirit, we would understand these verses and that we would be able to apply them more accurately to our lives today. I want to pray for each and every person here who's going through things, who's got challenges. I think some of us have family members going through situations, and I pray for those people. I want to pray for Holly. I pray you'd be with her. And just kind of coming off of pregnancy, the anxiety and high blood pressure, things that she's going through, I lift her up to you in that. And I want to pray for Terry's family and his brother. And they just lost a family member, a nephew, recently. So I pray for them. I pray you would comfort them and help them too. And now, Lord, just please give us understanding as we read these words together. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So the book of Deuteronomy is actually, I would say, a very underrated book, all right? It's a very underrated book. It's an amazing book of the Bible. Can I get amen from somewhere over here? Somebody say amen. This is an amazing book. And I'll give you a little bit of a backstory to help you realize that it's a little bit more amazing maybe than you've ever really given it credit for. Maybe you've just kind of thought about it. It's like, yeah, that's somehow connected to Moses, and how does it all fit in, you know? The Ten Commandments are in there, but they're in Exodus also. You know, how's all that work together, you know? Okay, so here's how it works together. Moses stumbled, he fell, but he didn't stay down. He got back up, and he kept serving the Lord with the rest of his life that he had. Now, this is all happening like in the last year of Moses' life. So how old would Moses be at that time? About 120. 119, 120. He's right in there. That's how long he lived. So he lived to be an old man. And so he's at the very end of his life. He's made that mistake before the Lord, but he picks himself back up. And so he knows he's not going to lead the people into the promised land. But what he's going to do with this last little bit of time that he has left in his life, he's going to get that next generation ready to go into the promised land. And what the book of Deuteronomy is basically Moses giving them words of encouragement before they go into the promised land, giving them reminders about their whole story as a nation, who they are, what happened, how they got to this point, reminding them about the commandments of God, all the things that they needed to obey when they went into the land, if they were going to be prosperous in that land, what they needed to do, and giving them charges to obey that land. And then he also, in the midst of that, I think he reiterated and expounded upon the law that God had given them. And that's what Moses was doing. He was giving them what they needed to know to be successful in the land right before he was going to die. And so this whole book of Deuteronomy here is probably stuff that happened in about a 3-week period of what Moses was giving and Moses was telling to the people. So he's getting them ready to go. And I think it's really great to think about it that way. It's really helpful to think about it, how he wanted to pass along what they needed to know to be successful. And so one of the places, what I'm going to look at in this book, as we kind of close out our time with Moses, kind of a few just really key passages. And one of them I actually already read this morning. But the first one I want to look at is in Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'll probably do a fair amount of reading here today with this message here. But it's going to be very brief and very simple. Amen? You know what it means if I say brief. It's probably going to be the longest sermon I've ever preached. But Deuteronomy, by the way, Deuteronomy comes from the title of the book in the Septuagint. It means second law. And then there's some discussion of whether that's even the right title for the book. It's a good title. But this would really kind of be this, you could think of it as the second time Moses gave the law and really went over the law. But again, this is with the next generation. Deuteronomy 6:1 says, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the rules of the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long." So first of all, he's, again, like I said, they're getting ready to go into the land. He's saying, this is what I want you to do. These are the statutes. These are the rules. These are the things that you need to obey when you go into the land. If you're going to do those things, then your days in the land will be long. If not, there's other things that will happen to you. But in the midst of that, what's going to allow you to do that is that you fear the Lord. So he said it's very important to be successful as you go into that land that you fear the Lord. Now, should we fear the Lord today? Absolutely. Should we fear and tremble at his sight and his presence and just be really afraid of him? Or does that mean something different? I'm of the impression that it means both. I think I heard both. I'm of the impression that it's like he's our Father, and we should know that we can go to him and we can approach his throne with confidence, and he welcomes us and he loves us. And he's like a dad that just wants us to just come up into his lap and hold us in his lap and be with him and be close. But he's also like a father that is just going to be really fierce if we are rebellious against him and we turn from him. That we should respect him and we should honor him and we should know that he has complete power and control over everything that happens in our life, and we should really take him seriously. And we should not think of him as just like one of our buddies or something like that, but that we should really be in awe and fear of him. And if we were to speak against him, we better think twice about speaking against the Lord. Amen. So we have to think about him that way. If we're gonna live the life that God wants us to live, we have to fear the Lord in an appropriate way too. And so he called the people to fear the Lord. He says, "Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey." He says you have to be careful to do these things. You have to be careful to learn what the commandments are of the Lord and then actually do them. If you disregard them, if you ignore them, that's not going to be careful to do them. If you're going to be careful to do them, you have to put the time to understand them, to study them, and to obey them. And then you have to work through your own desires. You know, I got to be careful to not just do what I want to do, but to do what it is that the Lord wants me to do. Now, this next part of the passage is sometimes called the Shema, coming from the Hebrew word there for hear. And it's really profound here. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart." So when Moses is giving advice to this next generation, before they go into the promised land, he says, hear this, you know, listen to this. You got to listen. And listening here is not just letting it go one ear and out the other, but really soaking it in, really taking it to heart. Calls the whole nation to hear this, to listen to this, to take this to heart. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. We believe, just like they believed, that there is only one God. It's called monotheism, one God, not many gods. We don't believe in three gods. We don't believe Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are separate gods. We believe in one God who eternally exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he's calling it, the Lord is one. And then he says this, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And I said it's going to be simple today, but this isn't hard for anyone to understand. Amen. That the most important thing that you need to know to live this life in a way that's going to be honoring God and is ultimately going to be good for you is that you love the Lord with everything that you've got. That's what we're called to do. And that's really the reminder, I think the simplest reminder today. When I think about what Moses wanted the people to really know, he says, what you really need, what you're going to really need going forward is you need to love God. And that is also, like when we see later in the New Testament, when they came and they were testing Jesus and they said, what is the greatest of all commandments? He said, the greatest of all commandments. And this is what he went back to. Is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. He gave a second one, he said, is to love your neighbor as yourself. And he said that sums up all the law and the prophets. But you got to start with the first one, right? The first one, like you can't really love your neighbor unless you love God. And the way actually that you're going to love your neighbor is by loving and obeying God, right? You don't steal from your neighbor because you love God and you obey God and you obey what God says. But in the complexity of all the things you need to know, it just comes down to this thing so simple. What you and I and every one of us really need to do is we really need to love God. So we got to think about what does it look like to love God? I mean, first of all, you got to believe in God to love him. If you don't believe in God, you can't love him. So that it's really connected with our faith. I would say the next part of it is that when you think about loving God, there is a part of this where there is some emotion here. There's your heart. You love God. You really care for God. You're really devoted for God. You really see God and you want to be close to God. And there's an emotional side of it that's there that should be part of it. Like you really love God. I mean, let me ask you this question. Do you really love him? Do you love Jesus? Do you just care greatly for him? Do you have a heart for him? And that's what I think we're to have that. And then along with that is when we love him, it's not just feelings. It doesn't just stop with feelings, but there's actually really knowing who he really is and loving him for who he is, not who we make him to be, but who he really is and how he's revealed himself. And so we got to love the God that actually exists, not the God of our making. And then the last thing I want to add on to that is that then when we know who he is and we see what he's revealed, that we love him by obeying him. And we don't do it out of like some kind of like burden or duty, but we do it because we love him and we know that the things that he says for us to do, they're good, they're all good for us. And we're to do that with all of our hearts, right? And Jesus said this too, didn't he? What did Jesus say? He said, if you love me, you'll do what? Keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. And so by being obedient to God, that's one of the really ways that we love him. And so if we want to like disconnect those things, then we're not really loving him with everything that we have, okay? So because he says, you have to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, okay? You can think of your soul, it's like the immaterial you, your person. You can kind of think of that as connected to your mind and stuff too. So you got to love him with your heart and your mind and your strength. Everything you got that you love the Lord with that. And that's what we're called to do. And that's what Moses was really calling the people to do and to remember. And he says, these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You really need to take these things to heart. So what is the most important thing that you've got to do today? Love God. What's the most important thing you've got to do tomorrow? Love God. What's the most important thing you've got to do the rest of this year? Love God. All right, this is simple, right? All right, we've got to do that. Now, he gives a little bit more responsibility. He says, you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So he says this to the people, again, going into the land, what you're going to need to do to be prosperous as a nation and to stand before the Lord and to have the Lord still watch over you, is that you actually have this responsibility. You need to teach about the Lord. You need to teach his commandments. You need to teach it to your children and your children's children. You need to pass it on to the next generation. So how many of you here are the next generation? Raise your hand if you're the next generation. Okay, I got a whole bunch of them in the back. You feel like you're the next generation. Yeah, you kind of are. It kind of works. But so we're told in the Bible that we got to teach this to you guys, right? But then someday you guys have to then take and teach it to the next generation. And it's the responsibility that we all have. We all have that responsibility of passing this faith and this relationship with the Lord and obedience to him from generation to generation to pass it on. And you, one of the ways you pass it on, he was describing, hey, this is how you should be. You should just talk about the Lord nonstop. And I think, I don't know that I think I fall short, you know, in these ways. But as I think about what he's saying, like, you know, when you sit down, when you wake, you're talking about the Lord. That's what you care about because you love him so much, right? You're in love with the Lord. You talk about the Lord. You share that, you know. Now, in the time of Christ, these Pharisees and the different people would, scribes and Pharisees, they would take some of these words like so literally that they would kind of decorate their bodies, you know, with God's word, and they would wear them like close to their heart. But I think he means more than that. He doesn't really mean it like that. He means we're going to really take it to heart, really have it, you know, really guarding our heart, over our heart. But we've got that responsibility that the Lord has given us to pass our faith on to the next generation. And he says this, he says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob to give you, with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of all goods, things you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant, and when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord. And so here's another really important reminder for the Israelites, and I think reminder for us, and I think it fits well with us taking communion today as we do it, that one of the reasons we do that is to remember the Lord. And he was telling them, he was like, you, when you go into the land and you're really prosperous and you have all these houses and you have everything going, all these crops that you didn't plant are growing and life is really sweet, don't forget the Lord. Don't forget the Lord. And it's, so it's a reminder, you got to remember the Lord. And I think that's such a great reminder for us too. Sometimes, really, I would say that we're a little more apt to remember the Lord when we're suffering, when we're going through very difficult times, when we've hit rock bottom, you know, when something has happened that it was the last thing we want to have happen and we feel completely powerless. We turn to the Lord sometimes, right? The way that we got to remember, we want to have here is we want to remember the Lord when things are going well. Okay, when you got that new job with the new big paycheck, with the new clothes and the new car and the new house and the vacations, all that you want to go in different places, you know. When you got the relationship that you wanted to have, you got the girl or the guy that you wanted to have, right? When things are just going according to plan, you know, when you're just successful and people see you as successful, maybe it's when you're all league or all area or something like that, or state champs, you know. But beyond that, how about like in life when you graduate with the top honors of everything, you know, when you've got the wonderful job offers and those kind of things, when you've got a vacation home and different things, that and you have the temptation to sit back and say, man, look at all this because of what I've done, because of who I am. You might forget the Lord. You know, I don't know if I'm painting that enough for you, but it could be different things in your life when all your dreams are coming true. And you think they're coming true because of you, but they're really coming true because of the Lord. And he says, no matter what happens, whether it's good or bad, you know, whether there's food in the barn or not, I want to praise the Lord, but I'm going to remember him. And so it's probably a bigger test for you and I, as to whether or not we're going to remember the Lord when things are going really well. And he says, don't forget the Lord. You got to remember the Lord. And so some of the ways that you will remember the Lord is by faithfully reading His Word and paying attention to what His Word says and taking it into your life, consuming His Word and remembering the Lord and thinking about the Lord. It's going to be such a great remedy for worry and fear and those kind of things that you have in your life to take in the Word of the Lord and to really remember what it says and really apply it to your life. But he told him, you got to remember the Lord. Don't forget the Lord. He said, it was the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord your God. You shall fear him. You shall serve. And by his name you shall swear. And you shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people who are around you. This was another really important part as they go back into this land where there's actually an evil people doing all kinds of idolatry and practicing all kinds of terrible things that go so far as to sacrifice their children in the fire. He says, when you go into that land, you are not to take on any of the practices of those people of the land. You are not to worship their gods. You are not to go after their gods, and you're not to do what they do. They were to keep separate from those things and those practices. And isn't the same for you and me today? As you think about it, like, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. We do not take on the ways of the world, the things of the world, the ideas of the world, the wisdom of the world. I want to be old-fashioned in this way. I want to say, what does the Bible say about that? Does the Bible address this? Does the Bible speak about this situation? Should I go along with it if the Bible speaks against it? Should I call it good if the Bible says that it's bad? Okay, I'm going to be that way. I want to be that way. I think that's what we're called to do. If we're not called to modify and adjust our faith according to what the world teaches. Now, there actually are a lot of failing churches in the world today. A lot of failing churches. And what I mean by that is, like, there's this idea that, man, the number of Christians is really declining. The number of people in certain denominations has really gone downhill. That Christianity is, like, dying in the U.S. You know, there's a lot of things written about this. There's surveys and different things, counts of people. And there's some truth in it, and then there's a misunderstanding about it. I think the thing is, if you look at the churches that are dying in the U.S. in particular, churches that are dying in the U.S., those are the churches that really don't believe the Word of God. That have taken the Word of God out of it, and they've adapted the ideas of the world and brought the ideas of the world into the church and embraced those ideas and think, okay, we'll attract more people if we make this a little bit more palatable to people, we'll bring it in, so we'll actually adjust what we believe based on it. And we'll allow those things to supersede what Scripture actually says, thinking that that's going to grow the church. But what that actually does is that destroys a church, because people that are really give their lives to the Lord, give their lives to His Word. And they really follow what His Word says. And so that's why you have ultimately so many empty buildings. I mean, you saw this happening a long time ago in Europe, right? In Europe, where people in Europe, they went away from what the Word actually says. And so now if you go to Europe and you look around in Europe, which is considered like a post-Christian society as you look at it, you go into churches, they're actually museums, is what they are. And what keeps the church alive and keeps the church thriving anywhere in any place is to remember God, to remember His Word, and to not turn to other gods and worship other gods and bring those other gods into God's house. And so that's what's going on. And so I think we need to remember that, and we need to take that to heart in the same way that Moses encouraged the Israelites to do. He says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test as you tested him at Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may go well with you, and that you may go into the in and take possession of the good land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers by thrusting out all the enemies from before you, as the Lord has promised. So when he talks about you shall not put him to the test, you should not do it. Basically, remember, it was all those times that the Israelites would get thirsty, would get hungry, would begin to complain about the Lord, would begin to say that it'd be better to be back in Egypt, that Moses was leading them in places, you know, Moses was a bad leader. They were denying God. They were rejecting God in all this, and they were complaining. He says, don't put me to the test in that way. Don't put God to the test in that way. Don't paint him out to be someone who has bad character and is not leading you in a good way. So remember that. And then verse 20 says, when your son asks you in time to come, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and grievous against Egypt and against Pharaoh and all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out of there that he might bring us in and give us the land that he swore to give to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes and to fear the Lord our God for our good ways, our good always, that he might preserve us alive as we are this day. And it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to do all his commandment before the Lord our God as he has commanded us. So there will come a time when the younger generations would have kids and they would come up and then their kids would go, what is all this about? What are all these things about? And he'd say, you got to remind them that we were slaves back in Egypt and the Lord delivered us with all these miracles out of Egypt and brought us here. Now, I don't know, maybe you and I don't have exactly the same story, but we do have a story. And there probably is a little bit. I would say, you know, sometimes as a kid, your parents bring you to church and stuff, and you're like, what is all this about? You know, why, how did we end up here? How do we end up being a Christian family? How did we end up coming to church? How did this all happen? And I would bet you, like, I know this, everyone's got a story. Every family has a story. Every person has a story. And it's like, a lot of times it's like, you know what? You should have seen what I was like before this. You should have seen how the Lord freed me. I was a slave to sin. I was a slave to pleasing myself. And the Lord freed me from that. And he brought me into this. And now I walk with him and I follow him. And he's my God and I love him. And I live for him. And you have a story to tell. So be sure to share your story and tell your story. And remind, you know, the next generation about what God has done for you. You know, and we all have kind of a little different story. So like with me, very brief testimony for myself is I grew up in a home where I was being told about Jesus. I was being taught about Jesus. And I believe that when I was somewhere around 4 years old that I asked Jesus to come into my heart and to be my Savior. And I probably didn't understand all the theology behind it and everything. But I tell you what, I wanted to be with Jesus, and I didn't want to pay the price for my sins. I wanted him to cover my sins, and I wanted to have a relationship with him. And I really believed that he was with me all my life growing up, and that I sensed his presence. But what I did was I also craved for the world around me, and I wandered a lot, and I did a lot of different things. But God kept being faithful, and he kept saying, nope, come on, this is the way to go, come on. And I would kind of walk with him a little bit. But then I would have eyes for other things, and I would go other directions. I'd look at other things. But God just kept being faithful to me. And so my story is not one of like an adult conversion. It's one where I came to Christ as a young person, wasn't really walking with him very well. If my wife tells you a story about how we met, like she always describes me as this like super Christian guy, like I was really out there, really a believer, you know. But maybe that's how it looked on the outside, but I didn't really know how much yuck there was on the inside. And how much God was dealing with me and how much he had to really... I feel like God had to take me. And one of the things he did for me that was probably the best thing was that he had me get married when I was 19 years old. And now I've been married 31 years. I hope it's 30. I know it's past 30. We got married. So think about in my life, I've been married a lot longer than I haven't been married. And because of that, I didn't run around and do some of the things that I might have been prone to do at that time. And was that just a good decision on my part? No, I mean, the Lord put me in that situation. I give him all the credit for it. So just to tell everyone here, God has been really good to me all my life. I'm so thankful for him. I haven't always been faithful to him, but he's always been faithful to me. And he's a good God. And I just encourage you today that if you're even entertaining walking with God, that you do it. You give your heart to the Lord and you walk with him. And you follow him, and he'll give you the life that he wants you to have, and it'll be the best life that you can have. And I just want to tell you, there's many lies out there in this world that are coming at you that are saying, hey, this is better, this is what you need to have, this is what you need to be concerned with. But what you need is Jesus, and you need to love him, and you need to walk with him. So with this, I'm just kind of rocketing through this, but I want to at least hit one more chapter from Deuteronomy chapter 30, and I read a little bit from that already, but I think this actually fits really well with it. In starting in verse 11, so as Moses shares all the law, he reiterates all the law, he tells them about the blessings and the curses and all that would happen if they honor God, but all that would happen to them if they turn away from God and they follow these other gods and they do these things, he spells it all out for them. But he puts it before them like it's a very big choice that they have to make with their life. And I think when I think about what life is like, we're just constantly making choices. Like you're making choices, and a similar kind of choice is just constantly put before us here. And so Moses says, "For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you. Neither is it too far off." He says, I'm not asking you to do something that's impossible for you to do. I'm not asking you to do something that's beyond your capability or anything that you can do. He said, it is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and it is in your heart so that you can do it. So he's encouraging them. So this is what he's asking them to do. Again, it's not an impossible thing to do. This you can do. And the word is simple to understand and it's close and it's near, right? Do you guys all understand what we said today? You ought to love God. That's the most important thing. That's not rocket science, right? He says, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and to serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live. Loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Now, these are the words of the Lord coming through Moses. But Moses, after making this mistake, after sinning in the way he did, he got to be used by the Lord to give this encouragement to the people to tell them. But he put it like this. He says, I'm putting before you, what I'm telling you, what I'm putting before you as to whether or not you're going to follow the Lord with your heart and you're going to obey him. It's like a choice I'm putting before you. And I'm giving you two parts of it. On one part of it is life and good. And the other part of it is evil and death. And he's saying, it's your choice to make. You're going to follow the Lord and obey him or not. It's your choice. It's put right before you. What are you going to choose? But he says, you know what? It's going to be your choice, but what you ought to choose, please, choose life. Choose life. And I think, in the greatest sense, we think under the new covenant, the same thing, it's put before us, that it's put before us, that, you know, on one way, which we can we can look at it like we've got right before us on one side of it, we've got life, we've got Jesus, we've got what's good, we've got a relationship with him, we've got walking with him, we've got honoring him. And then on the other side of it, we've got all the things that pull us away from him, that are wrong, that are lies, that are not true, would lead us not to follow Jesus, would lead us not to believe in Jesus. They're there. And sometimes they might even sound really good. They might be like really appealing. They might even be described as the good thing to do, but they're not. Those things are lies. Those things are the things that are going to destroy us. They're called death. And really, it's fitting that it's called that, because if we go that direction, if that's the direction we go with our life, then we have death. We have this not only a physical death, but we have a spiritual death and a separation from the Lord. But when we believe him and we believe his promises and we go that direction, then we have what's good. We have what's good for us, what's wholesome, what grows us, what makes us stronger, and what gives us life. And so it's like, when I think about it, it first of all, it comes to the gospel. Now, if you know me well, you'll know that I don't actually really believe that any one of us is just possible. It's possible for any of us on our own to just choose God on our own. I don't think we can do that on our own. I think God has to, he has to regenerate our hearts. He has to give us faith to actually be able to make that choice. But, you know, in our experience, as we look at it, like, I'm going to choose to be with Jesus. I'm going to believe him. I'm going to go with him. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to go his direction. And that the gospel and our response to the gospel is very much that. It's life and death. Life and death. It's life to believe the gospel. It's life to align yourself with Jesus. It's life to have faith in him. It's life to believe in him. It's death to not. Amen. Now, the other part, going a little bit further, though, I think when we think about our lives that we live, so many of us would say, I've given my life to Christ. I'm a believer. I'm born again. I'm a follower of Jesus. I think that I like to think about this a little bit different way, that I'm making choices like all day, all the time, about what I'm going to do, what I'm going to think about things, what I'm going to say, what my attitude is towards people, what I'm going to intake into my mind, what I'm going to watch, what I'm going to view, what I'm going to read, what I'm going to listen to. All kinds of things out there, right? Okay, what I'm going to give my heart to, what I'm going to spend my time on. In like every decision I make, I can look at those decisions as, when I look at those decisions, I say, is one particular path in this decision, does it represent good? Does it represent life? Does it represent what God wants for me? Or does it represent bad and evil? And those decisions are there again and again out there before us. Amen? Or am I the only one in this church building that is like, As I live my life, I make a lot of choices, and I have choices to make, and I see right before me, good and evil is set before me at all times. And I just have to keep continually remembering to choose good, to choose life, to choose what's going to be what God wants me to do, what God wants me to believe. And when I spend time in the Word with God, it sure helps me to do that a lot more. And when I pray to him and when I worship him, there's just these things that we do. Like, these are the ways that we go about it, and we do it. When I serve him, it helps me in that way. And I think it would help you too. But I think you need to look at things in your life as a lot of choices that you make. Moment by moment, you're making choices about what you're going to do, how you're going to carry yourself, how you're going to respond. So just to kind of close it out with Moses, I don't have a lot of time, and we'll kind of get a little bit of this next time when we go in and we start talking about Joshua. Moses didn't get to enter the promised land, but God said, here, come up on this mountain, and I'm going to let you overlook the promised land, and you can see the whole land. But you're going to go up on this mountain, and you're going to die on this mountain. And Moses went up on that mountain, and he died on the mountain. And you're like, well, why is that choking you up a little bit? You know, did you know Moses? I mean, well, I know. I think I was listening to this podcast by R.C. Sproul this week, and he was talking about how when we read the Old Testament, we need to really put ourselves in the shoes of the people that we're reading. And if we'll do that, we'll get a lot more out of it. To do that. So I think for Moses to be such a godly man, for him to do all the things that he did and to lead the way that he led and to intercede for the people the way that he did, but yet he doesn't get to go into the promised land. And there's something about that, as I think about it, that's a little bit of a reality check for each and every one of us. That God is holy, and we need to take him seriously, and we need to watch it. I think, especially for me, as your pastor and a leader here, to think, you know, am I honoring God as a leader? You know, or am I falling short? And to just see the fact that Moses fell short in this way, and therefore he wasn't able to go into the promise. Now, I don't think this is a matter of salvation or anything for us in any way as we look at it. And I think Moses is perfectly saved as we see, we look at this. Moses is saved. But there's a time, too, where God says, you know what? I got that man as my leader, but he's not my leader. He's not the leader anymore. I don't have him in place as a leader. I remove him. And so for me, it's like thinking like, okay, I've got a certain number of days to be the pastor at this church, to be here, to preach the word of God, to do this. And then my time will pass, right? And that's it. So am I doing the best I can do? And then for you, it's the same thing, right? You just got a certain number of days to serve the Lord. Then your time's up. Are you really loving the Lord with all your heart? Because that's what he said. He says, you're going to choose life or death. When you choose life, that goes with loving the Lord with all your heart. And believe me, all the other things we get caught up in, they don't matter. They don't matter. You're not going to be wishing you spent more time doing some other things when you come to your grave. You're going to be just happy with any time you spent loving the Lord. And maybe wishing that you saw things a little differently when you were younger. Amen? Amen. All right, so I hope that you're somewhat moved by that and challenged by that and encouraged by that too, you know. We just got a limited time. We got to live this life well. We got to live it with urgency. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to honor you, Lord. We fall short in so many ways. Lord, we are swept up in things we shouldn't be, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you would move in our hearts, teach us what it means to really fear you and honor you and to be loving you with all of our hearts. Thank you. We love you and we praise you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.